You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 14th, 2020. These wildfires on the West Coast, if you don't live there, you don't know anyone there, have no property there, maybe you just haven't paid attention. These are devastating. They've got at least 35 dead. The wildfires going from California to Washington State, burning nearly 5 million acres. That's nearly the size of Connecticut and Rhode Island combined. Tens of thousands forced to flee their homes, many coming back to find nothing but rubble. And in fact, in the state of Oregon, they had to evacuate one area, moving 50,000 people out of one area. Let me correct that. It was 500,000 people out of one area. Tenth of the population for that state. And what we have also, firefighters coming in from everywhere to help out, because those who have been on the lines are exhausted. Even some crews are coming in from Europe. One volunteer fireman said, "I found my house got burned down." In fact, 6 out of 7 volunteer fighters in one town had their homes burned up while they were trying to help save others. And the original cause, supposedly lightning in many cases, but there's suspected arson. And in fact, 4 have been arrested on suspicion of arson in some of the areas. 2 in Washington State, 1 in Oregon, 1 in California. And in fact, in one of the cases, the one in Oregon, a man arrested for setting multiple fires along a freeway. He had just been released from custody hours earlier for setting another fire. Hopefully this time they won't let him out. And then you switch from the upper northwest down to the coast. Along the Gulf, hurricane warning up for the Gulf Coast. Sally expected to strengthen. And again, mandatory evacuations, Louisiana, Mississippi. And she is slowing down. And when she slows down, that means she won't sweep by quickly. There will be heavier rain, flooding. Possibility of not just more damage, but more deaths. The L.A. Sheriff's Department still offering a $100,000 reward for information on the gunman who shot 2 deputies as they were simply sitting in the car, walked up to them and shot them. Joe Biden did say that the shooting was unconscionable and then immediately started pushing for gun control. President Trump's response is, "Animals like that must be hit hard." He said, if they die, fast trial, death penalty for killer. Only way to stop this. You shoot a cop and kill them, you go to your death. In Orlando, Florida. This is not Disney World. This is Orlando, Florida. A place called Icon. Starflyer attraction. 450 feet tall. Supposedly the world's tallest swing ride. It's under maintenance, and a worker fell to his death from 200 feet. Pfizer CEO is saying that there's a likely scenario we could see a coronavirus vaccine by the end of the year in America. Possible anyway. Hopefully that'd be right. Iran is saying it's considering a plot to assassinate, or I should say, one report says Iran is considering a plot to assassinate our U.S. ambassador to South Africa. Why? Well, it would be payback because we killed an Islamic State leader, al-Baghdadi. Remember when he flew in and we hit him with a drone strike as he arrived in Iraq in early January? Then in Richardson, Texas, an armed robbery is underway. The store owner, a gun store owner, fakes a heart attack. He's acting like he's got a heart attack, and in the process gets his hands on a gun and shoots one of the suspects. He's 77 years old. The four men started running out after he shot one of them. He said, "Don't come back. I've got more ammo." Which reminds me of a sign I saw the other day saying, "If you try to steal or rob this place, you will be shot. And due to the high cost of ammunition, there will not be a warning shot." Notice was served, don't you think?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Biden's anti-police crusade must stop. It's got to stop. It's got to stop now. Furthermore, the corporations, these poor, stupid people that run the, you know, they get paid a lot of money. They're weak, ineffective people, let's face it. They're funding anti-police organizations and other organizations that are, it's so embarrassing. And I don't mean for a little. Like, they gave $100 million and $250 million. You're talking about serious money. You're talking about serious money. And that money is not used for good reasons. You should give money to the families of the crime victims and the fallen officers. That's what they should do.
That is President Trump last night in Nevada at an indoor rally, talking about, as he said, stupid corporations and stupid CEOs that are funding radical leftist organizations. Under the protest and then leading to riots in some cases, pushing for equality and proper police reform, things of that nature, which I don't know, I really don't have anyone that I count as a friend that is against police reform where it's needed. I don't have anyone I count as a friend who is against that. Who is against officers if they are out of line, that they should be prosecuted. And I know several police officers, the same attitude, say they don't help us. When they do something like that, it falls on all of us. And that is exactly what happened the other day in Los Angeles. Because of all the hate that's been generated, and in some cases, cops doing wrong, other cases, folks quickly judging it, and our fact that police are involved in any shooting that they want to make a protest and then lead to a riot out of. You got officers that had nothing to do with any one of those types of cases, but because they wear the uniform. Because they wear the uniform and they have a badge and they're there to help serve and protect, then they're a target. I've been talking about this for years since we started this program. And even when I was still on TV, that was one opinion I did share, that if you wear a badge, you're sometimes making yourself an automatic target. And it happened for a couple of deputies in L.A. the other day, sitting in their car. They had been on the force maybe 14 months. 14 months. And all they were doing was sitting there when a gunman walked up and decided, you know, this is a good chance to take out some cops. Listen to the L.A. County Sheriff.
Two deputies who were ambushed by a gunman in a cowardly fashion. They were both critically injured, multiple gunshot wounds. They are currently being treated for at the hospital. So everyone, want everyone to have a prayer for them, for their recovery.
That was shortly after the shooting. We are now told that after numerous surgeries, still in critical condition because each was also shot in the head, that they will survive. We don't know if they're going to have permanent injuries, to what extent. One of the officers, 24-year-old male. The other, a 31-year-old mother of a 6-year-old. And Chief Villanueva, I should say Sheriff Villanueva, you just heard, also added there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's an act of a coward. So a $100,000 reward is offered for information leading to the gunman. They've got it on video. The video around the transit center where the officers were stationed catches a guy walking up beside the car and just walking by and then turns and shoots on them. Now, how much do you think that's going to affect officers out on the street right now? When they're sitting there and somebody pulls up beside them. Or when they're sitting there and somebody starts walking over to their car. Obviously, officers should always be on alert, but this just ratcheted that concern up considerably. And it could lead to a shooting that will not be justified and or should not have happened. But you might think that, well, if I were a law officer, I would not. You'd do that. You think that. If you really think that, then you sign up to be a police officer and put yourself on the front line and you go make a stop, a quote, routine traffic stop in the middle of the night with just you. Or you sit there and watch somebody come that maybe you don't like the looks of them. Maybe they're looking a little crazy. Maybe it's someone of color. Maybe it's whatever you think that might be injurious or harmful to you, and you take action before you need to. And then, of course, after the officers were shot and they were rushed to the hospital, crowds started gathering at the emergency room entrance, blocking this entrance to this hospital and shouting out, "I hope you effing die." And what they did in the process with that is also block the hospital emergency room and operation and entrance for citizens who might need an emergency taken care of. Detroit Police Chief Craig was interviewed on Fox News about what he thought about these protesters. First of all, the shooting of the officers, and then some showing up at the hospital shouting out, "I hope you effing die." Here are the words of the Detroit Police Chief Craig.
Sadly, I'm not surprised. There are some that's part of this anarchist movement that spew hate. They incite violence. And so now taking it to the level of blocking emergency and entrances to a hospital for others that might need immediate medical attention is horrible. I got to tell you, the escalation of violence towards our men and women in uniform, I've not seen it like this in 44 years in this business.
The Detroit Police Chief James Craig is a black man. He has been in law enforcement for 44 years. And some of these folks out there that just want to kill a cop, they don't consider that he would be black. They consider that he's a target. And in fact, one so-called religious bishop had tweeted out, there is no such thing as blue lives. Well, this sheriff would tell you otherwise. He also said the fact that one of the deputies were ambushed like that, he said, it just shows a new low, a lack of humanity. On that same program on Fox, another police chief was asked for their view on how this all went down. And the Miami chief, Colina, says, what we have is people with everything going on, they've reached a point where they think they can rationalize what they're doing.
When you think about what happened there in L.A. County, the fact that you have two officers sitting in a car, they're ambushed, they're shot for no reason other than wearing a uniform, then you show up at a hospital and you chant, we hope you die, while you block the entrance to the hospital, depriving people of medical services, it's such a lack of humanity. And by the way, that has nothing to do with politics or you seeking social justice or reforms. That's just hate being exhibited. And honestly, it should be denounced by everyone.
And again, that's the Miami Police Chief Colino. It's not such a pretty new America, that's what it is. And this hate, the way it's being spread. The city manager of Linwood, California, put a note on his Instagram account over the weekend referring to the shooting of those two L.A. County Sheriff's Department deputies as saying, the chickens come home to roost. He put with it an image of Malcolm X affiliated with the Nation of Islam at the time he made that statement. So the city manager, Linwood, California, decided he is just fine putting up, mocking the shooting of these officers and saying, this chicken's come home to roost. That the attack on these officers should be expected. I understand anyone who loses a loved one who is in police custody. I certainly understand that you, if it's your loved one, you want to know and you need some answers. And if you think it was done wrong, then you certainly you want to deal with it. And yes, there are a number of black young men in particular who have been shot by police, and the young men were not armed or did not create the threatening situation that the officer either assumed or tried to reason. But there are also cases that are all justified, some that might still be questionable. I'm not going to get into the numbers of how many blacks were shot versus whites by police, but just know that more whites shot than blacks. But the bottom line is, no one should be shot if they're doing something that does not justify that kind of action, regardless of the color. But we are now fomenting and encouraging a violence in our nation against police officers. Manchester, New York, is in the New York City area. Listen to the words of the Manchester Police Chief Parker.
When you talk about defunding or just reducing police budgets, you can't expect police officers to be everywhere all the time doing everything. But again, look at this. We're over 100 days of rioting. When do we say enough is enough? When do we let businesses go back to doing business? Think about just even here in New York City. Our families, we would have been in New York multiple times. We don't go to New York now, and I wouldn't suggest anybody going there. It's hurting businesses. People are leaving. When does America say enough is enough?
And that's regardless of your race or your religion or your gender. When do you say enough is enough? And how much is the violence in the streets going to play in the upcoming election? In the previous hour, I was sharing a piece had been put together. First of all, a Fox News poll that says that Biden and Trump are nationally in a 5-point race after the convention poll. Each had their conventions. But a New York Times Siena College poll also said that while Biden appears to be leading Trump, it also shows how Biden could lose the election if you look at what's happening in 4 swing states. This New York Times article, written by Amir Afiki, I think that's correct pronunciation, said the coronavirus issue, if you focus just on that, then Trump will probably lose. But the other issue dominating the news lately is obviously the police violence, racial injustice, peaceful protests, rising crime. And Biden does not know how to deal with it. In fact, that's why Don Lemon, fruitcake of CNN, said the other day, Biden's got a blind spot. He's got to talk about the violence. And finally, he did. But 4 swing states, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Wisconsin, most of the voters say we're more concerned about law and order than the pandemic. Where do you stand? Where do you stand and what do you know about BLM? Take a break and we'll come back. And let's discuss that subject in a little bit more detail.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Black Lives Matter, founded 7 years ago. One of the co-founders is Patricia Kalores. She admits she is a Marxist and she wants to transform this government. Are you in for that? To take America and transform it. Now, I'm not talking about dealing with just with police and what you think should or shouldn't be done about police, which, by the way, she's heavily, heavily in defunding police, or in many cases abolishing police, or at least cut the budget so much they can't do the job that needs to be done. And which community do you think is going to suffer the most if you have fewer officers? I've repeated it numerous times. I'll take you back to it again. A survey that asked black Americans, do you want more police more often in your neighborhood, or do you want the same number of police as they are now, or do you want fewer police? 80% said, give us more or at least the same. Do not take cops out of the area for our safety. 20% said they don't want them in the neighborhood. Why? Well, you'd have to ask them individually. Are they all gang members that have that opinion? No, I wouldn't say that. I do, but I don't really believe that. I just say that, you know, they think they don't need police, but I will guarantee you, if someone starts getting shot up in their neighborhood, they're going to want some kind of help. Who are they going to call then? But Patrice Kalores, if you open the Black Lives Matter webpage, and there are a lot of Black Lives Matter things posting and posing out there. There's one in San Luis Obispo, California, that's just basically a mailbox. They're taking money in. No one apparently really knows much about it, but they're sending money. They see that, I'll send money. And, of course, they do ask you on their website, the true Black Lives Matter thing, to send money. Support our work. Buy our merchandise. Okay, that's understandable. A lot of groups do that. Donate today. And corporate foundation grants, partnerships, yeah, contact us. We want you to join on board, too. This is where what Trump was talking about earlier. Corporate CEOs have signed on and dumping millions upon millions of dollars into BLM, and no one knows where it goes except when you start looking at it. Most of it's going for political action groups and are those inside. We might not know that story for a long time, but what I do not see is the money going back into the communities of color that they're trying to help. Out of the multi-millions of dollars, Do they need to spend it all on getting ready for mailing out flyers about a new riot or doing things or transporting people across state lines to participate or push for defunding legislation all the time? Can they not put money back in and help the people? So you want to be a BLM supporter, that's fine. That's your choice. Just know what it is, what the plan is, and you really want to transform America. And you better understand what they want, because they're looking at a revolution. A revolution. And defund the police. Or take them out of your neighborhood entirely. But also ask, are you going to be putting money back into my community and helping us here? As opposed to fighting legislative congressional battles, are you actually going to put dollars on the ground to help small businesses and citizens? At some point, they'll probably get around to doing that, thinking, well, I guess we got to do something like that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Bob Woodward book and how it's been covered and some of the reaction. Still to come right after this break.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you look at what I said today, I said, don't panic. We don't want to be jumping up and down and going wild. Don't panic. I'm a cheerleader for this country, and I don't want to see panic. What I want to show is I want to show a calmness. I'm the leader of the country. I can't be jumping up and down and scaring people. I don't want to scare people. I want people not to panic.
Those, of course, are words of President Trump last week as he responded to the Bob Woodward book. As Woodward claimed, the president said, I don't want to panic people, and he told Woodward that he believed COVID was worse than what he was telling the American public. And it's backed up by tape recordings. And Trump knew he was being recorded. He gave permission. He agreed to do several hours of interviews with Bob Woodward, of course, of Watergate fame, and he agreed to let him audio tape it. In other words, he knew he was being taped. And neither Bob Woodward, I was getting ready to say, I really shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's either an extremely poor journalist, or whenever he was a good journalist, he's lost his edge and doesn't know how to do things now. Because the stuff he was claiming the other day as his book is coming out, he knew back earlier this year. And he did not get that out to the American public himself. He kept it for his book, to sell the book. And Bob Woodward is now maintaining, I did nothing wrong by sitting on the Trump audio at that time. I did nothing wrong. A lot of critics condemning Trump when the audio was released. And you heard the president say, well, I didn't want to panic anyone. And some actually questioning Bob Woodward, if it's such a big deal, why didn't you make it all a big deal then? I mean, you could have saved, in fact, somebody wrote that Bob Woodward has blood on his hands because of the deaths. Woodward appeared on CBS 60 Minutes yesterday. And Scott Pelley asked him, did the president ever disclose to you why he wasn't telling the public what the stakes were with the coronavirus? Woodward said, I think he did not understand the American public. He said, well, I don't want to create panic. We know from history when the public is told the truth, they organize. We have a problem. We're going to step up. And Trump thought, oh, well, they'll panic. When there's a crisis with the when the president particularly, they know something. It's time to tell the public in some form he failed. Those are the words of Woodward. Pelley said, well, you write in the book the president's handling of the virus reflects his instincts, habits, and style. What are those? Woodward, I mean, God, you set up softball question for him. Woodward, denial, making up his own facts. I didn't see the interview. I'm looking at a writing of it, and I'm wondering, did Pelley ask him, why did you hold it back? It is so damning, why didn't you run it? Now, here I want you to hear Donald Trump from one of those audio tapes he made with Bob Woodward, and what Trump said referenced COVID. We don't have it. We lost the problem. Our computer's down. Unbelievable. It's a leftist conspiracy. I'm sure of it. Boy, am I upset over that. Well, as you know, they say the show must go on, and it's going to go on. And I'm from Texas. I can be put on stage and be told you got an hour and a half to do something. I got good BS. I've got a degree in BS. I do. I have a BS degree, political science. I use the BS part all the time. So here we go. I'm still going to tell you the story. What Trump said the other day is he absolutely admitted that it was more dangerous than he was telling the public. I'm looking for the quotes now because I've got to find the actual the quote. And I'm trying to see if I've got that in the midst of everything else. We've had so much material on this thing. All right, Quentin's in there going crazy. Don't pull your hair out. Believe me, it's not worth it. I've done enough in the past. But he admitted, Trump, that is, it's in the air, it moves around like that, this is more than the common flu, this is deadly stuff. Words to that effect. Well, Woodward, once he started being questioned about his book coming out and having those points in it, he said in an interview on CNN after they ballyhooed his book, he said, there it is, that's a smoking gun. You just heard Trump say, it's in the air, gets around easily, it's going to be worse than the flu. This is deadly stuff. And Woodward said, there it is, that's a smoking gun. And what he said and what he did at that point is worse than the Nixon Watergate tape. And Bob Woodward obviously cut his teeth on that story and got his fame and fortune from exposing Watergate. And he says, this is bigger than Nixon tape. Bob Woodward, if it's that big of a deal, why again did you hold it back? Now, he does stuff for the Washington Post. The Washington Post said, hey, we didn't have anything to do with the book. He does that on his own. We can't demand that he bring stuff into us. So we just don't, you know, we get what we get from him. But either they didn't know or they knew, and they also agreed to keep silent about what Trump was saying, reference how deadly it was, because Woodward wanted it in his book. You got to have something in these books when you're giving interviews and all this stuff is laid out there. If you want to sell a book, you better, if you don't have the steak, you better have the sizzle. And again, Trump said, I didn't want to panic everyone. Now, you just heard, I read from, he did his remarks with Scott Pelley on CBS saying that, we know from history when the public's told the truth, they organized. Well, I don't know what history he's talking about. Obviously, he's talking about Pearl Harbor. Yes, we had to let the nation know we'd been attacked. And yes, when 9/11 happened, everybody knew it. You couldn't hide it in this day and age with everything out there. The COVID thing, when the president was taking action, you had those on the left saying he was being xenophobic, blocking flights from China. And then they complained, well, he didn't shut down Europe fast enough because we had a lot of it show up in New York. when he did shut it down, within a month of stopping the China flights, they realized it's still coming through, it's coming from Europe. He was also chastised and criticized. Well, you didn't do it fast enough. But I don't see a single one of them saying, Cuomo, you got blood on your hands because you ordered nursing homes to accept COVID-positive patients. And if they had them, you kept them in your hospital, in your nursing home, I should say. But here you got the left, Rachel Maddow and Don Lemon, rushing out saying, these are grounds again for either impeaching or resignation from this president. So we can hear COVID talk, Trump, I should say, talking about the delay. All right, thanks, Quentin. Let's hear Trump do that.
But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus. So this is deadly stuff.
Well, that's a pretty powerful statement, right? And here is again where Bob Woodward in his interview with CNN pointing to specifically to that statement. Here's how he classified it, Bob Woodward, when it came to talking about the smoking gun. Well, it's not working again. Quentin, you're going to be something special in your paycheck, I guarantee you, for all you're trying to do there.
Now it is the smoking gun of his negligence. It is a dereliction of duty recorded as no other presidential dereliction of duty has been, even more so than the Nixon tapes.
Just what I told you, he said. Well, again, why didn't you bring it out then? No one's really pushing that question on him. And again, Trump, as to why he did not say anything to the public?
I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you...
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Now, Bob Woodward, if you're a legitimate reporter, as opposed to looking for some gotchas and so forth to use later on, why didn't you ask the question directly? You just said, why are you playing it down? He said, well, again, I said, I want to be honest with you. I didn't want to create panic. Woodward, why didn't you press him? Why didn't you press him and say, Mr. President, you think that kind of information is yours to withhold at that point in the sense that maybe the public deserves to know? Why didn't he make the same remarks he's making about it now? Why didn't he do it when he had the president on the phone line? Was he not sharp enough to pick up on it and really listen to what he's being told? Maybe he went back and he had some of his fellow editors listen to it. And they said, hey, that's a damning piece of audio. Oh, yeah, it is. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know how it went down. We'll take a break when we come back. I want you to hear when we come. We're going to have a break coming up. And I still want to pick up a couple more things on this issue. But I also want to point out to you how news coverage is done. And believe me, I've got 50-plus years in electronic news journalism. Does that make me an expert? That's up to you. There are people that have more, and they have a lot more experience in some fields than I do, still in journalism. I'm not an international correspondent, traveler of that nature. But I know how newsrooms act and how they put things together. Do I know at the network level? No. But it's not that far different, I promise you that. So let's take a break. When we come back, I want to point out something that is right in your face right now if you check. I'll check it for you. I'll tell you what's going on. And it will give you a clear indication of what's going on with this Bob Woodward and his book and the left versus Trump.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, Quinn's been very busy trying to make this work for us as we close out this hour. We were talking earlier about Bob Woodward saying, oh, I got a smoking gun on Trump when he said I held this from the public. I didn't want to panic it about how deadly this virus would be. And he was told that back in Feb, and Woodward held it for his book so he can make money off of it. And now he says, see, this is a smoking gun. And here come the leftists, Rachel Maddow and Don Lemon Fruitcake, saying now's the time to get Trump.
The well-written TV drama we all wish this was, this is the episode where the president resigns.
This president has betrayed you. It's just plain out betrayal. Doesn't matter if you support him or if you don't support him.
If you support him or don't support him. Let me give you a quick primer on news and how it's put together. I've already told you about the response from Trump and so forth. At 9:30 today, I checked the website for CNN. Listen, as a story breaks, it gets high play, and then it's, you know, if it's a big story, and then it gets pushed farther down. That's just the way things are, be it broadcast or print. And now we got the internet news, which is relatively still new. Let me tell you what I recorded, I took a snapshot of the CNN front page at 9:30 this morning to see how they were dealing with the police shooting, the sheriff's deputy shot down in L.A. Now, yes, that happened over the weekend, okay? The Bob Woodward thing broke last week. COVID is still going on with us, and the search for the killer, the attempted killer of those officers continues, and it's a $100,000 reward. Here's what CNN had on its front page at 9:30. You open up their website. Top left-hand, big, bold print, Trump is finding it all but impossible to change the subject. And an analysis about how the president is not just downplaying coronavirus, twisting history, trying to disguise his culpability in 190,000 American deaths. If you want to do that, you've got to include Cuomo, don't you? As to what he did in New York City, 23,000 deaths. New York State overall, 32,000. And 16,000 to 20,000 total deaths in the whole state were blamed on Cuomo's ordered and nursing homes keeping the COVID patients. So you go on down this on the same thing. They raise more issues about Trump and COVID. All right, look at another part of the front page. Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court blocking absentee ballots being mailed in. They want to get that. They've got a quote from Fauci. You're going to need to hunker down this fall and winter. On the other side, mining CEO resigning. A 46,000-year-old sacred indigenous site was damaged. Game of Thrones actress dies. I mean, so there's nothing on that front page about the deputy shot down in L.A. Now, I know it happened over the weekend, but there are still plenty of reasons to update that story. I went all down their page. It's not there anywhere. I just opened up the new page for CNN right now. And right now, there's nothing on the front. They did have added in some of the reference about Oregon drivers illegally stopped at gunpoint after looting reports because of the wildfires, and they spent more time on the tropical storms and so forth. But nothing about the shooting of the officers. Nothing. Oh, they have a piece about a deputy being fired after video shows him repeatedly strike a man. They put that on. How did Fox News do it? Well, Fox News on their front page earlier did have the deputies played high. Now in their most recent, I'm looking at they're dealing with the fires, the devastation, and maybe the Durham bombshell still coming, the evacuation for Sally. But also on the front page, they've got the police shooting in L.A., although it's been pushed farther down. The agenda is so clear, and you know this from the mainstream media. I'm trying to tell you strictly on the basics of journalism. Not politics, journalism. Things change, you have to move them down. And when you're doing different newscasts for different audiences at 5, 6, and 10, or even if you're a radio station, you're doing top-of-the-hour newscast, well, you want it to sound fresh every time. You want to put something new that you didn't have, but some stories bear repeating. Now, maybe one particular cast, you might not include the sheriff's deputy shot and the latest on that. That's a decision made, and sometimes it's made with the best intentions. But when I look at CNN at 9:30, and I look at it now, and they don't even mention on their front page anything about the deputies and the fact that they might survive or anything else at all, Nothing? Nothing? See, that tells you everything about mainstream media when it comes to giving you only what they think you're entitled to know and how to do it. You might not like me. You might not like my views. That's fine. You might not like this program, but I still appreciate you listening. I know some who don't like it that listen. Thank you. But when I'm talking about news coverage and how it's being done, I'm as factual and direct as I can be. I'm not putting politics, my views into it. I'm just telling you how journalistically it should be done. That was a problem I did have when I thought I might work for a network at one time. When I was offered a job, I thought, I don't want to be under a producer who knows less about the business than I do and being told to do things that I don't agree with because it's not journalistically sound. So I'm just fine. And I do appreciate you listening. I appreciate you spreading the word. I appreciate you supporting all of our sponsors. Let them know you appreciate them, please. Even if you don't need them, just call and let them know. Tomorrow, book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.